Sean, we wanted to give you a call because you've been in one of these home run derbies. Let me ask you, afterwards, when it was all said and done, did you feel like your swing was interrupted in any way? Did you feel a noticeable drop-off in the second half of the 99 season?
It definitely can affect your swing, which sounds weird, I think, for someone that doesn't play. But one day of trying to hook home runs, because that's the easiest way to do it, is to get it to your pull side, can actually get your swing thrown off a little bit. In my case, I don't know if it I don't think it necessarily threw me off, but I could see for sure how it did. I did home run derby in Las Vegas when they used to do the home run challenge before spring training, and it definitely got me, you know, off to a slower start in the spring.
Sean, is it like a golf swing? The harder you try to swing, you know, you're not going to hit it as far instead of having a nice, easy swing towards the baseball?
I don't know. I pretty much swung as hard as I could all the time, so I'm the wrong guy to ask that. But I would say, well, the thing in baseball is, as a hitter, when you're pulling more and more, it's really hard to slow your swing back down. It's always easier to speed it up if you're behind. So a lot of guys, if you watch batting practice, they'll always start off. Good hitters will start off hitting the ball the other way the first couple rounds because they want to feel their bat head behind them. But once that bat head gets out in front of you, it gets really hard to slow it down. And that's what happens in the home run derbies. You just swing after swing after swing, your bat head's getting out in front of you, and it can be a challenge getting it back.
What was your preparation like? I mean, it certainly is a big thing nowadays. And back in 99, I think it had been around for over a decade, the home run derby. So how much prep did you put into that? And were you extremely selective in who was going to be throwing at you?
Yeah, so I used to do, starting in about early 98, Carlos Delgado and I used to do this home run derby every day in batting practice. But it was to center field because, as I mentioned, we didn't want to hit to our pull side. And that's actually when I started learning how to hit more home runs by practicing it every day, hitting them as far as we could to center field. So we were used to that. We would do it on a daily basis. So there really wasn't any prep in that regard. As far as who threw to me, I have, my best friend growing up, who played college baseball at those tremendous batting practice. I brought him out, and he actually became someone that other guys started using for home run derbies. And over the years, people used to fight over him to have him throw to him because he does throw such good batting practice. And it was really cool because, I was able to experience that, plus my first All-Star game with my childhood buddy.
Sean, looking at some of the other players you had to participate against, Mark McGwire and Ken Griffey Jr., did you go into this one saying, yeah, I got a good shot at this?
I was excited to do it. It was a very scary experience because it feels really foreign to be taking batting practice at night under the lights with no screen or no cage around you and have a full stadium. It's just really a weird sensation. So I was definitely probably the scariest thing I did as a professional baseball player on the field. But I was pretty cocky at that point, feeling like I could hang with anyone because I used to, as I said, practice every day in batting practice and was getting pretty good at putting on a batting practice show. The challenge with the one I was at was there was no getting loose. So we took batting practice, and about 3 or 4 hours later was my turn at bat, and we were at Fenway Park, so the batting cages weren't accessible because they were inside the Green Monster, so we couldn't get loose. So basically, just after 3 hours, you stand there and say, okay, your turn, go hit the ball as far as you can with no practice swing. So that was a bigger challenge than anything.
You know, looking back at some memories, be it the home run derby and the All-Star game itself, one of the better ones that I can remember was the All-Star game you played in, well, the one you played in 99, and at Fenway, and going back at that time where Ted Williams came out and everybody kind of congregated around the Red Sox legend at Fenway Park, no less. Talk about what that moment, what that was like, and were you able to talk to Ted Williams? And if you did, what'd you say?
I mean, I met him in the hallway. I think at the time he was in a wheelchair, and I met him again maybe the next spring when I got traded over to the Dodgers. He was in town in Florida. Kind of hanging around the clubhouse one day. So that's when I got to speak to him a little more, which was great. And, I was just thrilled that, someone like that knew who I was. I mean, that was a cool thing because he was, even though he's way before my time, he was, you know, known as the greatest living hitter, maybe the greatest hitter ever. So just to see him and be able to talk to him even briefly was incredible experience. But that was, it was really cool because they had the greatest living players around the field. And I was so excited just to be at the All-Star game. I couldn't keep up with all the activities and the festivities going on. So I was late getting out there for that. I was so busy hanging out with the superstars from other teams and excited about that I missed half of the other stuff. But it was a really cool experience to be at an All-Star game, especially, you know, one at Fenway and the last one of the century. Is pretty amazing.
Former Blue Jay Sean Green here on Tim and Sid. That's Jeff. I'm George. Sean, you hit two dingers in the Home Run Derby. Do you remember them?
I remember one of them was I really hit it far, which actually, if Ken Griffey wouldn't have hit one his last swing, then I would have advanced the second round. Because a lot of the totals were lower that year because of the fact that we couldn't really get loose before. And then once you get to the second round, a lot of guys hit more home runs because they had that first round behind them. So I was hoping to get to the second round, but at the same time, I knew Griffey was the guy that everyone wanted to see, and including myself. It was fun to watch him go up there. So I wasn't, you know, I was definitely upset.
You know, getting back to the changing of the swing, or at least the theory that is out there, and thank you for your comments on that. Was there any reluctance going into being in the Home Run Derby, in fear that there would be that change, or maybe that if there was a drop-off in the second half of your season, that's what everybody would attribute it to?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a fear. I was excited to take part in it. But, you know, I think guys should go in there with a plan and try not. It's hard because once you get out there, you are wanting to do well. So it's a tough thing because, you know, you're much – Fenway was an interesting place for a lefty, too, because it's so much shorter to left field. So my original plan was to do that, try to hit balls the other way. But, you always get back to just trying to pull them if you're putting on a show, and that's kind of where I ended up. But I didn't, you know, as you said, I only hit a couple. But it's definitely something you got to be, you know, a little bit cognizant of when you're doing it to not screw yourself up.
Did you have a special bat you used, maybe a gamer or like a wonder bat, like the Homer Simpson softball bat?
Yeah, exactly. No, I just pounded a bunch of cork in my bat and tried to.
That's all right. Sammy Sosa was there. I'm sure he showed you a couple things.
Yeah, he was there. He was there for sure. I mean, those guys were. Yeah, I remember he was just sweating bullets. He was so focused on one of the thing. But I just grabbed, you know, a good bat, game bat, and just let it fly.
You were also in the 2002 All-Star game. Perhaps one stands out more than the other, but for the second one, maybe for a different reason, because that was the one in Milwaukee that ended in a tie.
Yeah, that was an interesting game. I was bummed because, you know, at the All-Star game, you really, back then when it was not, you weren't playing for anything, you really just wanted to play a few innings and be done. So I think I came in as a reserve and maybe the fourth inning and ended up playing like whatever it was, 12 or 13 innings. I basically played a full game and, you know, I was exhausted and I remember it was really muggy in there. It was raining and it was leaking through. I mean, it was just kind of it was just kind of a mess, that whole All-Star game, especially in comparison to the one in Boston, which was just really special moment. I think it's kind of a bummer that now the games are, they have that meaning because of that 2002 game and it affects the World Series. Because I really think it should be an exhibition, just like the Home Run Derby is an exhibition, but, the game's going to keep changing and that's what people want.
Sean, does it really affect the guys in the clubhouse, though, that, yeah, they know this is going to affect the World Series, or they just kind of, you know, shrug it off and play an exhibition, as you just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone, even if it's an exhibition, everyone wants to do well. So when you get your at-bat, you don't want to go up there and strike out and look bad, make errors in the field. So really, you know, baseball is really an individual game played as a team. And, you know, that's why it doesn't really matter if the team, if you're playing during the regular season, you're 20 games out, you know, you still want to go and do well and get big contracts and have success and all that stuff. So I think it's the same case in the All-Star game. And that's why, you know, I think for the fans' perspective, just a PR perspective, they need to make it, you know, mean something. But I don't think it's going to change the way guys approach it.
Sean, you keeping an eye on this year's Toronto Blue Jays?
Yeah, no, I'm keeping an eye on.
What do you think? I mean, they're really battered and bruised right now, and a lot of fans around here are begging Anthopoulos to make a move. What do you think?
You know, they got an exciting team. They got a really dangerous lineup, really, you know, well put together lineup, and you know, like a lot of teams, the pitching starts to, you know, get banged up, or you know, always in need of an arm or two. And I think they're definitely in a position that, you know, they can go for it. I mean, it's, you never like to see a team start to fade, you know, as much as they did the last couple weeks. But you know the talent there. You got a healthy, you know, at least for the most part, Batista's been healthy, and Encarnacion's having an MVP season. You got Reyes starting to hit more. So I mean, you got the horses, and it's a tough division, you know. But there are those two wild card spots. So hopefully they have the money and the prospects to go for it.